From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The number of home foreclosure filings has doubled in just a year. That's according to the research firm Realty Track. The question remains, is the worst yet to come? For one thing, the rates on hundreds of thousands of risky loans will reset. That's industry speak for skyrocket this year alone. Ditto next year. In response, Congress stepped into the fray yesterday. The House passed a bill that will allow the Federal Housing Administration to cover more of these risky mortgages, and the Senate is expected to weigh in soon. For more on this and the week's other political news, we've got Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators and a former special assistant to President George W. Bush, and Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Nice to be with you.
So, Ron, if this bill clears the Senate, how effective really will it be?
Well, I have to tell you, as a free market fiscal conservative, I'm always nervous when the government tries to step in and take the assumption of the risk or to take the responsibility of the risk of obtaining a mortgage. I do believe that the Congress will act, and I do believe a bill will be sent to the president for signature this year. The question will be, how much responsibility does the Congress wish to assume for people who should have taken more precaution and people who should have, unfortunately, paid more attention before they took these loans out that are skyrocketing and forcing them out of their homes?
But, Ron, there are always limits that are imposed by various governments for various reasons. Some people have said that these businesses essentially pushed these loans to consumers in ways where consumers didn't understand. Maybe it was a question of language. What do you think of that?
I agree with that, and I am very concerned when you look at redlining, that is skyrocketing insurance premiums based on a particular demographic in a particular area. And I think that there is a strong oversight responsibility that Congress must exercise to ensure that predatory lending did not take place. And if it did take place, then I think the punitive actions will come into place. But again, as a free market fiscal conservative, I'm just very, very cautious and very nervous about the federal government making people's assumption of the risk.
So, Mary, this bill passed by the House allows for greater relief than the limits proposed by the Bush administration. So why might the Bush administration be more conservative with this issue?
They would be more conservative for the same reason that Ron objects to the bill, on free market conservative grounds, although when it's to their benefit politically to have the government take action, they go ahead and take action. Also, in a week when the Federal Reserve Board has just cut interest rates, when it previously opened its own loan window to banks at lower rates and urged them to come to take loans, when it is essentially bailing out the banking industry and the hedge funders and all the people who finance mergers and acquisitions and all the big guys up the top, it seems to me to be wrong to say that somebody shouldn't help the little guy down at the bottom who has made these loans. And in fact, the people who didn't understand and who were pushed into it and who took the greatest risk and who now are in the worst trouble need help more than anybody. So that what the Congress has done, and you will note that lots of Republicans voted for the House bill. It simply wasn't Democrats. I mean, Republicans voted overwhelmingly. There are enough votes there to override a veto. It just seems that in fairness, we ought to do something for the little people and keep the economy going. When the economy is bad and you're headed toward what looks like recession, you can either take the Andrew Mellon at the time of the Depression position and say, liquidate, liquidate, let's wring out all the excess and let everybody suffer, or you can try to help everybody. This is to help the little guy, and I think that even if Bush vetoes it, Congress will pass it over his veto.
Well, Mary, the one thing I'd say, though, I agree, obviously, with what the administration has done, because I think that there is room to modernize the FHA program. I think there is a strong momentum that all of us would agree that you should be able to expand the amount of money that people who can qualify for these loans and to have certain forgiveness. But I just worry about the federal government making an assumption that we should come in and bail people out on these particular loans, because I don't want the United States government involved in the regulation or at least ownership of the mortgage industry anymore as it turns to health care, which I know Farai will talk about in a minute, that the federal government should be providing universal one-size-fits-all health care. So I'm all for those who are at the lower end of the strata who are most adversely impacted by this. I just don't believe that the federal government has that proper role to be interceding there.
And you're probably in favor of the banks also getting bailed out.
No.
And also the big hedge funds.
Absolutely
getting bailed
not. Here's where I'll surprise you. I think it was a erroneous and a tragic mistake that the Federal Reserve cut interest rates yesterday. I think we are going to have more problems with inflation. I think you're exactly right that this move was taken to bail out the banks. We don't need to bail out the banks. We need to bail out the citizens who are adversely impacted by the economy.
All right, Mary, I am going to move us along to health care. Senator Hillary Clinton launched her plan this week, and she says the program is not going to create additional bureaucracy. The GOP is going to try to yoke it to the plan. She failed to get passed as a first lady. Are the plans different in your mind?
They are absolutely different, and Clinton is being smart about it this time. She's taken a page out of Mitt Romney's playbook up in Massachusetts and come up with a plan, according to the same professor at MIT who advised Romney, which is almost the same with a few bells and whistles that are different on it. And she's emphasized, as she must, choice. She learned the last time, as Bill Clinton learned in his first administration, that if you make it look like it's too much, too complicated, if you try to interfere with choice or leave yourself open to the idea that you are in those Harry and Louise commercials that were on television, you're dead in the water. So she's learned from that and from her experience. And so she's now saying, if you like the health care you got, keep it. Well, if you don't like it, then do something else. So I think it's smart and I think it's workable. And I think it is a lot like the Massachusetts plan, and it's smart politics, too. And business and industry and the labor unions and everybody wants something done about health care now, not just the people who don't have it, unlike in the 90s.
Before I move on to Ron, very quickly, just break down exactly what she's proposing.
What she's proposing is, if you like your health care, keep it. If you don't like it, you can have some choices. You can pick the plan that federal employees now have, and they have a platter of choices that they can take. Some people can go on a Medicare-like plan. She's also proposing that if business, small business, gives health insurance to their employees, they can get a tax credit for the health insurance, which they like. They were prepared to pounce on this, but they immediately said, gee, this is great. Also, that low-income people who don't have the funds can either get subsidized to buy insurance, or if they have enough income, they can get a tax credit to buy insurance. In other words, everybody should have insurance. Everybody must have insurance, and there's an option. And then the money to pay for the subsidy would come from kicking back the tax cut that people over $250,000 got in the Bush tax cuts, which is one way to pay for this. So it's a broad, comprehensive plan. And she said, I don't have all the details. I'll work with the Congress to do it, which is smart politics, too.
Ron, again, Mary keeps referencing Mitt Romney, and some blogs, some economic critics have said, well, gee, he's now disavowing a plan that he himself used. How do you fall on that one?
Well, I think the key distinction here is that you're talking about the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which is a particular state, a very small state, a state in which most of the people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts did have health care. There's one difference there between people who live and reside in the Commonwealth deciding that they want to impose these specific mandates and this specific reform upon themselves versus someone in Washington believing that they understand how to best deliver health care, the health care delivery system, to people all across the United States. The estimates of 47 million people being uninsured in the United States are often tossed around, and I think that is absolutely an erroneous figure at best and a lie at best. I think there are a lot of people who elect not to have health care coverage. I think that there are well over 10 million illegal immigrants in the country who do not have health care coverage who are figured into this. And most importantly, the Senator Clinton's plan goes back to the old mandates that we've talked about before. She mandates that if you have a job, that you have to have health care insurance. I do not believe it is the role of the federal government to be telling people, to mandate to people, they have to take particular action because some bureaucrat or some individual in Washington thinks that they know best. The repealing of the Bush tax cuts has done much to stimulate the economy. I think rolling back these particular tax cuts before they expire in 2010 is a mistake, and I believe that the Congress has an obligation to work together in a bipartisan fashion, but imposing a one-size government Washington knows best solution is more of what we saw back in 1993 and a mistake.
Mary, quick Please. Let me just say that if something is enacted for health care, it will be done by the people who represent the people. It won't be done by some pointy-headed bureaucrat in Washington. Congress will vote for it, and it won't be done by the president alone, so we don't have to worry about it being representative. The second thing is Alan Greenspan even says the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, were wrong at the time, and that he just mumbled too much and didn't tell us. I don't know about that. And it won't just be, even if it is Massachusetts is one state. What's puzzling to me is why Romney doesn't want to take credit for his own ideas.
Before you jump in, Ron, I actually, Mary, want to ask you, what dog does the African-American community or communities have in this fight specifically with health care obviously being linked to income?
Okay, the dog that the African-American community has is that we are disproportionately poor and disproportionately without health insurance because of that. And disproportionately likely to be ill for all kinds of reasons that have been well documented. And so you got all these people who are suffering because of a lack of it. So we need some kind of plan to do something and the whole idea that if you're too poor to get it, you may get a subsidy to get insurance and so on, and that there would be broad funding for programs for kids like the ones that are proposed now. All of this, the dog that African Americans have in the fight is they should be for strong health care reform to make sure that everybody gets insured so that people can get medical care and stop dying and suffering from things and dying too young.
Oh, Farai, where do I start? I know you were going to move on. I have to say this very briefly. The federal government, working in conjunction with the states through the Medicaid program, ensures that those who are at the most need of having medical care and medical assistance are provided that. The Democrats in Congress have used the SCHIP program, the Student Child Health Care Insurance Program, as a backdoor plan to try to bring everybody on the health care rolls as opposed to those poor, needy children that deserve the health care treatment the best. So I think this is an interesting debate that we'll have here in Washington. But African Americans and those who are traditionally at risk or those who are at the lower economic strata already have a safety net. We need to strengthen that safety net. We need to provide more for that safety net. But throwing billions of dollars to create universal health care is just the wrong solution.
Well, Ron, you know what? Ron, you need to go to the emergency rooms to see the African Americans.
Okay, we got to wrap it up, guys. Ron and Mary, I know you could continue, but thanks a lot.
Thank you, Farai.
Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators and a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. And Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. They spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.